Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thank you for joining me for episode 7 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. This episode is titled Guided Magic, Finding Your Soul's Purpose, and it's really an extension of what I was talking about in my last video, which was called Surrendering to the Divine, Outrageous Openness. And I'm going to take a drink of water. Hold on a second. I just ran to get my phone, and I realized I was running out of time. I was trying to clean the kitchen. Excuse me. Okay. Gosh, and it's a beautiful day outside. I have the windows open. I'm looking out at just gorgeous, beautiful sun. It just rained here, so the sky is like perfectly clear blue, and the trees are so green. I'm loving it. Anyway, guided magic, surrendering to the divine, outrageous openness. When I started Hippie Witch Radio, I had a very specific goal in mind. I wanted to share what I know and what I'm still learning about magic and the law of attraction, especially as it applies to conscious manifestation. And I think this is something that I will probably spend the rest of my life learning about and sharing because I really enjoy it. But right after I set that intention and right after I set up this show and announced it to the whole world or all however many subscribers I have, I felt myself pulled in a very different direction. I felt myself pulled into this idea of surrender and what it means to let the divine take the wheel and to just kind of go along for the ride. And I started to ask myself questions like, what if I didn't set a conscious intention to manifest XYZ into my life? What if I just turned it all over to spirit and waited to see what showed up? And it didn't really take long before I had that thought, before things started showing up, like that book that I talked about in that video, Outrageous Openness by Tosha Silver. I was just on Facebook, and I saw Dr. Christian Northrup had done a post. She's like, oh, check out this book by my friend Tosha Silver. But something in it just completely grabbed me, and I was like, that book is for me. That was meant for me. I clicked on it. And I didn't even wait to order the book and then wait for it to be delivered to my house. I just immediately went and bought the MP3 and started listening to it right then. And I ended up listening to it 2 times. I like drug my iPod around with me, doing the dishes, going jogging, cleaning my house. And it just completely, everything that Tosha Silver said in that book was everything that I was feeling in the moment. And it was just like a confirmation of like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to talk about right now, and this is what I'm supposed to be practicing in my life right now. And it reminded me of what the Christians that I grew up with used to say about turning your life over to God. And I don't know, it just really had a big impact on me. And, you know, Mastin Kipp, do you know The Daily Love? The Daily Love it's like this hugely popular blog that actually just started with a Twitter account where he posted like random inspirational quotes. And Mastin Kipp actually has a very interesting story about how The Daily Love came to be. And he says that it came to be because of this divine guidance that I'm talking about right now. It happened because Mastin Kipp opened himself up enough and put enough faith in what he came to feel was a calling that it all just seemed to magically fall into place and come to him. It just unfolded with divine timing. And you can hear all about his story by going up into the resource list and following the link that I posted there to an interview that Marie Forleo did with Mastin all about that. And if you don't know what The Daily Love is, it's probably just at thedailylove.com. I don't remember the URL, but I'm sure that's what it is. And it's a great, just inspiring site. Different people write for it, and it's just all about inspiration. So you might want to check that out, too. Anyway, I like his story because it demonstrates the power of turning your life, turning your intentions, turning your magic over to the divine, however you define that to be, instead of coming from your own ego and emotionally charged desires. You can turn it all, your career, your love life, your finances, your health, you can turn it all over to God. And the purpose-driven life, I don't know, you may have heard that before, it's pretty famous. The purpose-driven life is actually, it's a very Christian book. And that's a book that I kind of had on my mind when I was thinking about this episode and talking about maybe what, how to find your purpose, what that might look like. And I've actually read The Purpose-Driven Life. That's by a pastor named Rick Warren. And I've gotten to a place where I can read Christian material without getting offended. And I just kind of rewrite it in my mind to suit my own version of what I think God is. Sometimes I'll even go through and replace the word God. Like I'll scratch out the word God and write the word universe or the word love every time it shows up on the page. And if you don't believe me, you should see my copy of Marianne Williamson's Return to Love. anyway, over 30 million people have bought and read Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And as far as I know, it's the best-selling book of all time. And that's pretty amazing because what it says to me is that what people are looking for above and beyond anything else is a sense of purpose. Feeling a sense of meaning in their lives. I don't even know if it's reflective of the content of that book, but it's definitely reflective of what's going on in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. If that book is the best-selling book of all time, that may just be based on the title, The Purpose-Driven Life, and the fact that that's what so many of us are looking for. And I like that he emphasizes in that book being successful and finding your life's purpose are not the same. So you can be very successful, you can have all the money and admirers in the world and still feel a sense of emptiness inside. You can still feel like something's missing. You can do the most powerful kick-ass spells and be a total whiz at manifesting anything you want into your life using the law of attraction. But if your intention is not in alignment with your higher self when you set that spell in motion, if you're not allowing spirit to be your guide, you may find yourself disappointed by the results and unsatisfied by what it is you continue to manifest into your life. You may find yourself overwhelmed by what it is you're bringing into your life, or you may just lose interest once it gets there. And I'd also like to add that your career, what you do to make a living, and your life's purpose, those are not necessarily the same things. They can be, and I think that so many of us think that that's what it means to find your life's purpose, but quite often they're not the same. Of course, you want to have a job that you enjoy and that allows you to comfortably make ends meet, but your life's purpose may be to work as a volunteer at a children's hospital or perform in community theater. It might show up for you as being the world's most excellent friend, a great listener, and a source of emotional strength for others. I don't know. It could be. Rick Warren also talks about how aligning with your soul's purpose can create a deep sense of freedom and a joy within. He says, do less in life by focusing on what matters most, what God created you to be. Now, where I differ from Rick Warren's opinion is that God is some male creator who created me for his purpose. That just doesn't resonate with me. There is a philosopher, writer, / cognitive scientist named Dan Dennett, and he also happens to be an atheist, and he did this awesome TED talk in response to Rick Warren's take on God and how Rick Warren says that without God we are nothing, And I just wanted to mention that here for those of you who are maybe feeling some resistance to the idea of turning your life over to the divine, or maybe just the word God in general, which I totally relate to. He says, if you are like me, you know many wonderful, committed, engaged atheists and agnostics who are being very good without God. But I do believe, oh, did I mess this up? Okay, no, okay, sorry. they're being very good without God. But I do believe that you can turn this question over to your higher self or the universe. I also think that the question has already been answered and is being answered every day. It's answered in your natural inclinations. It's answered in the seeming coincidences of your life. Sorry I messed that quote up for you guys, but you can go again into the resource list and listen to his TED Talk on that. It's awesome. So what are these good people, these atheists, surrendering to? From where are they getting their guidance, if not from God? It could just be their higher selves or a sense of intuition. This power of surrender is for everyone, and I think that it is the way to creating a truly magical life. And maybe there is no need to even call in some divine force. Maybe there is no need to even say, I surrender. Maybe it's just about getting out of your own way and stepping in to the natural flow of life. When I was a very little girl, I saw this movie called Bill, starring Mickey Rooney, and Mickey Rooney plays this man who is retarded. I think he has Down syndrome, and I was so little, too little to be watching that movie, but I was absolutely riveted, and I remember praying my butt off after I saw that movie that God would let me help people like Bill, and I felt so moved by Bill, and I used to think about him. I would think about him when I was going to sleep at night. I cried and cried and cried when I saw the movie. I talked about him a lot to my mom, and then later on in life, when I had a special needs child, I used to think that I somehow made that happen by feeling so much like I somehow wished for it. But not every child who saw the movie Bill had the same reaction, and not everyone who had that reaction ended up having a special needs child. So maybe that incident back when I was a kid was more of a clue as to who I was than a cause. And that was a big, like, aha moment for me, because I actually had guilt about that for a period of time. Gosh, guys, I'm choking up. Like, I thought I gave my son autism somehow by wishing so hard for that, or that I just had made my life harder, maybe. Gee whiz. Maybe instead of that being a cause, it was a clue. Maybe it was a hint at where my life was going to take me and who I was. And there was another moment, and geez, I'm crying already, so I don't know how much of my childhood I can talk about here. There was another moment when I was 8 years old, and I loved Jesus back in the day, and I wanted to be baptized like all of the grown-ups were baptized. And it was funny and cute, I guess, to the adults that I wanted to be baptized when I was 8 years old. And to be baptized, you had to take these classes, like a series of classes where you talked about your life and, you know, gave your testimony before turning your life over to God and being baptized. And there was a woman in that class with me named Judy McCann who talked about her daughter who was my age and who was in all of my Sunday school and after church activities. Her name was Shelley, and she talked about Shelley and what it was like to have Shelley when she was born and find out Shelley had Down syndrome, and what it was like to be a mother of a child that had special needs. And it moved me so much, and it was another one of those Bill moments where I felt very drawn to that life and very drawn to that person and very drawn to that idea. And I thought a lot about Judy McCann over the years, and especially after I had a child of my own, I remember what she was saying. God, I'm getting out of this territory, people. moving on to something happier. But as my life went on and my ego developed, you know, I got hurt by life and I started, you know, toughening up and developing my ego, I started getting other ideas about who I wanted to be. And I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a famous movie star. And I wanted to be an actor. And I wanted to be an actor so badly that I really pursued that when I was maybe 16 is when I started pursuing that. And I got to move to Hollywood when I was 19 years old. I was newly married and moved to Hollywood. We ran away from home. And it seemed like that was going to happen for me. It seemed like Hollywood really liked me. I was cute. I was young. And I guess I was talented. But within the first month, I got pregnant with my son. And I actually worked a couple of jobs while I was pregnant and was like throwing up on the set. And I thought that I was just going to have that baby and then go right back to the business of becoming this movie star. But it didn't really happen like that because, as you know, my son had autism and my husband left, and that became what my life was all about. And for years, I was filled with frustration and so much resentment about that. When I had my eye on the ball of becoming an actor, which I thought was my purpose. You know, this was my purpose in life. But here was this person who needed me, and I saw him as a distraction, as something that was holding me back from what I was meant to do, rather than presenting me with the ultimate opportunity to do what I was really meant to do, which was to love and to be of service, to connect with people and to help people in need, which, funny enough, was what I wanted so badly as a child. So in a way, my son has been my greatest teacher, and gosh, I hope you can understand me through all this crying. So really my point was, maybe it wasn't about any intention that I set back then. Maybe I didn't set something, you know, some effect. Maybe I didn't, like, cause anything by having those feelings. I mean, maybe I did, but maybe I didn't. Maybe my path was already laid out before me. I could have even chosen it before birth, as so many people believe. And maybe all I had to do was just take a tip and recognize the clues and go where life was taking me, instead of fighting it, instead of letting ego be my guide. So I'm definitely going to shift gears here, talk about another TED Talk that I like, and get the focus off of me. Adam Leipzig, I think is how you pronounce his name, did a TED Talk in which he outlines, you know, how to find your life purpose in 5 minutes. And he has you ask 5 questions. He kind of does it rapid fire. And so I'm going to tell you those 5 questions now. And here they are. Ready? Number 1, what do you love to do? Number 2, what is the one thing that right now you feel supremely qualified to teach other people? Number 3, who do you do it for? Number 4, what do those people want or need from you? And number 5, how do they change or transform as a result of what you give them? He goes on to say that the most successful people are always focused more on the people that they serve than on how they themselves are being served. But I think that in doing that, you yourself are served as well, which really underscores a certain hunch that I have that everyone's purpose is exactly the same. Yes, we may be here to be of service, to contribute, to inspire, encourage, facilitate, and provide. But what is the core quality behind those energies? Really, if you distill it all down, at the heart of those beautiful, well-intentioned ideas, you have love. Our purpose is to love, and I really believe that. Now, how that shows up definitely varies from person to person, but in the end, it's all good, and it's all love. When I was a little girl, I used to write God is ... love all over everything. I did that a lot. I'd get obsessed with a certain phrase or word or symbol, and then I'd write or draw it over and over again. And I guess that was just my way of processing what I considered to be these big ideas. I know I was a strange little kid. I thought about God a lot. Anyway, I had been writing God is ... love all over everything for quite some time when one day I just randomly, or maybe not so randomly, if you know what I mean, I just switched the words around to read love is ... God. Love is God. And those words in that order just made so much sense to me. It made my heart swell, and it just felt so deeply right. In fact, I just have chills saying it right now. Love is God. It's just something that I still really feel to this day. And in terms of love being your purpose and finding your own unique modality for presenting that to the world, there's this awesome Rumi quote that perfectly demonstrates what we're talking about here. And it says, "Let the beauty we love be what we do." There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. Isn't that beautiful? There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. And I would argue that there are thousands, millions of ways, as many ways as there are people on the planet. So it is what you do. So, you know, love what you do. Love what you do. Do what you love. Run, dance, practice medicine, invent something new, run an investment firm, whatever it is that you choose to do, and we are so blessed to live in a society where the choice is ours, whatever it is you choose to do, do it in the spirit of love. Do it for the love of the thing that you are doing. Do it for the love of life, and do it for the love of other people, for the pleasure of being of service, the joy of inspiring, helping or healing a fellow human being, a defenseless animal, or even an endangered ecosystem. I just read a story yesterday about a woman who was volunteering her time removing tattoos from victims who had been branded by abusive boyfriends or gang members. These victims are often gang raped and held down by the gangs and tattooed with names, you know, or just it's an abusive boyfriend that's very controlling that forces them to get their name tattooed on their body. And since this woman had been through that herself, she now, you know, volunteers her time and for free removes these tattoos from these victims who are trying to overcome these traumatic memories. So is tattoo removal her calling in life? Maybe. Or maybe her life's calling is to be a healer, and based on her own experience of life, this is just the unique way that the healer archetype showed up for her. In another life, in another set of circumstances, that healer archetype may have shown up for her in any number of ways. She may have been a psychiatrist, a shaman, an herbalist, or really kick-ass, empowering mother, all aspects of the healer. And beyond that, all aspects of love. Carolyn Mace talks about this in her book Sacred Contracts, which is a really heavy interactive read. I wasn't really feeling it when I first bought it because I actually, when I bought it, I think I thought it was a book about the chakra system or something. I was like, what is this? But later, when I got really deeply into archetypes and how important they can be on your spiritual journey, I picked that book back up and did all the exercises it outlines, and I had so many profound shifts. And the point of that book is to help you identify the ways in which your soul's purpose, or as she calls it, sacred contracts, might show up for you. Robert Ojado, who is actually a student of Carolyn Mace, he takes this work, in my opinion, to a whole other level. He talks a lot about the differences between fate and destiny. And as an archetypal astrology, he really helps people look into the patterns of their life to see what needs healing, but also to help them get on their soul's intended path. He believes that your soul has an intended path. Keep in mind that he is at such a level of success now where he is super busy and can charge like a small fortune for one of his one-on-one readings. But and if you can afford that, more power to you. But he also does a weekly radio show called Soul Connections, which is absolutely free and chock full of valuable information. He also does free readings for people who call in sometimes, and I never miss an episode. It is really good stuff. I cannot recommend him highly enough. And again, I, you know, put a link to his show, Soul Connections, in the resource list. So just go back to the Blog Talk Radio show and look for that. And you can go through all the archives, which is great. And they're listed by subject, you know, so you can look up shadow work. He did a bunch of episodes on that, which I think are awesome. And then just kind of threaded throughout, he talks a lot about your soul's purpose and what that might be and how that might show up for you. And so now that I have pointed you in the direction of Robert Ojado, who is just so awesome and knows so much about all of what I'm talking about here, I guess this is a good place to end this. And just let me reiterate that finding your soul's purpose is really, in the end, it is about surrendering to the divine and, you know, letting God, the universe, source energy, your higher self, your intuition, letting that be your guide. And that is what is going to make your magic not only really powerful and effective, but truly satisfying and for the good of all. And I think that's what we're all going for when we're practicing magic or the law of attraction. We want to be satisfied. We don't just, you know, it's about empowerment. It's not about power over. We want to feel empowered. We want to feel good about our life, and we want to feel love. Love, love, love. This has been such a kooky episode, guys. I am so sorry. I am a big crier, and the more you listen to me, the more you will realize that. It's just like a part of myself that I cannot control. Once I, like, touch that nerve, it's like beyond me, and the tears just start flowing. So hopefully you could understand what I was saying, and it didn't sound like this. And I'm not really sure what next week's topic is going to be. I have too many ideas for that, but for some reason, none of them are really, like, jumping out at me as the one, you know, the next conversation that we all should have. So maybe you have an idea or something that you'd like to hear me address on next week's show. If so, let me know. Send me an email. I'm at joannadevoe@gmail.com. Hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you know, wherever you know I am. And I'm definitely open to suggestions. So until we meet again, namaste, my friends. Much love to you. Peace.